Hi, it's Phil Hendry. It's time now for episode 465 of our classic podcast from July of 2002, Roland Schwinn. Remember old Roland? He was running a youth camp. He ran a lot of youth camps. In this particular episode, he tells us that he basically uses this youth camp that he has as a labor. You know, the kids are labor to clear brush from his property, and he says it's better than the waste of time at normal camps that usually these kids experience. So he puts them to good use. Plus, we have a comedy gold with Ted Bell giving marriage etiquette advice. It ought to be pretty interesting. Our episode 465 of the Classic Podcast.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
How many of you send your kids to camp for the summer? And how many of you like the experience? How many of your kids like the experience? There's a camp expo going on throughout the week in Oxnard. On the line with us is Roland Schwinn, and he and his wife started two summers ago a camp called Camp Apache, which was started in response to, I guess, Mr. Schwinn, which you would say the kind of the dreary camp experience the kids were having?
That's it in part, Phil. The camp experience that we had with our son was indeed something that we thought was very unfulfilling for him and for us as well. We started Camp Apache as an entrepreneurial camp, a camp where children can go and learn crafts and also learn the spirit of what made this country a great country, the entrepreneurial spirit, the building spirit.
And this camp is in Simi Valley. Tell us about it.
Well, Camp Apache was started, as you mentioned, Phil, two summers ago because we felt the camp experience as it exists today for children is really a major waste of time. And I want to give you some background, if I could.
Go right ahead. Yes, sir.
And I'm a little bit nervous. Forgive me, because I've done three radio interviews today, but I guess I never really get used to the experience.
Well, you're doing fine, sir. Go ahead.
What most camp experiences leave children with is a lot of expensive daycare. I think parents can really relate to that. They come home with a wood carving or a plate. My son came home one summer with a plate with macaroni glued on it. And something else that, and I'm going to be honest with your audience, it caused a very low point in the life of my family. Camps teach children songs. These are campfire songs. And what children mostly come home with from camp in the summer are these songs, which my wife and I agreed were fairly meaningless and became very repetitive. And in the case of our family, caused almost a near tragedy. Now, what I'm talking about are songs such as the one that...
Give us an example, because my daughter was in a camp two, three summers running, and she learned campfire songs. You call them repetitive?
A lot of it is repetitive drivel, if I can use the word, and I don't mean to be harsh. He came home singing a song, and I can sort of feel myself tightening up. The song went, my mom gave me a penny. She said, go get some candy, but I don't want no candy. Instead, I want some bubblegum. Bazooka, zooka, bubblegum. I don't know if I'm doing it justice, Phil.
No, I know the song. My mom gave me a nickel.
My mom gave me a nickel. She said, go buy a pickle, but I don't want no pickle. Instead, I want some bubblegum. Bazooka, zooka, bubblegum. And then it goes on to, my mom gave me a dime. She said, go buy a lime. My mom gave me a quarter. She said, go get something. I don't know what
rhymes with quarter.
Yeah, right. But the point is, this went on after my son came home from camp, him singing this song endlessly. And
well, you said it caused a near tragedy.
I was in the car with my son, and you have to understand, my son Simon, I love, and my wife and I love this boy more than life itself. He's been through an awful lot. But he kept singing the song, my mom gave me a penny, and within 3-4 months of his returning from camp, I found myself reacting very temperamentally. I was getting angry. I asked him not to sing it, but you know how children are.
Right.
My mom gave me a penny until one day we were driving on the 23 up towards Simi Valley, where a lot of our property is, and he sang the song, and I heard a voice inside of me say, please stop. Please stop.
Please stop singing the song.
Please stop singing the song, and I couldn't verbalize it. All I could hear was, my mom gave me a penny. She said, go buy some candy. And I did something that I thank God did not result in anything more serious, Phil. I remember flooring it.
The car?
Yes. and I turned the wheel immediately to the left into the cement divider on the freeway, which caused the car to spin and skid, and I thank God to this day no one was hurt.
So you had an angry response to some camp song?
Well, yes, not just some camp song, but over and over and over again. We decided to start Camp Apache, where we wouldn't teach children meaningless songs, we would give them something to do. Now, here is Camp Apache. The children arrive, we give them a Pioneer bag with a shovel and a small hand spade. We just purchased, my wife and I, 4 acres of brushland out in Simi Valley. We're planning on putting a 5-bedroom home. That we just got the plans approved. We have a pool house and a pool along with a separate cabana for the spa. And we got zoning clearance for tennis court. Now we're thinking, because my son wouldn't, and again, forgive me, wouldn't shut up about going back to camp, why not create a symbiosis between our commercial venture and our son's need for recreation and knowledge, even during the summer months? And we hit upon the idea of the kids going to camp, and they could clear the brush, help put up a perimeter fence. You see what I'm saying?
Sorry, you got kids working on your property.
But we call it the Pioneer Experience. It's exactly what people did when they came out west in the 19th century, and they cleared land, and they tilled the soil, and they built their homes. And in the process, I get an opportunity to cut the expense on the building of the home because the kids, in other words, are clearing the brush.
All right, they're putting up a perimeter fence, clearing the brush, and what else?
They're also stubbing in the electrical and the plumbing. And all of this saves us a good 10% on the budget of the home. Now, the kids know when they leave this camp, they'll be special pioneers.
All right, I want to give our phone number out to the listeners, if I could, Roland.
Certainly.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. So this camp, you have kids clearing brush, doing these things.
Right.
And this is all to enable you and your wife to build a home.
While giving the children the Pioneer Experience. And we have the old-fashioned chuck wagon where they eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
All right, now, Chris, you had the call from a man by the name of Daniel Montmay, who said his son didn't, because he was in the camp last year.
Yes.
And his son didn't eat in a chuck wagon, he ate from a van.
Well, it's the same sensibility, all right?
Well, you call it a chuck wagon breakfast, but the kids are eating the van what?
The kids get Pop-Tarts. We have some rolls that we get from a bakery. The children eat beef jerky, which is the good old-fashioned way that they used to preserve meat, and ice water, just the way the pioneers ate. And on top of it, they're doing something helpful for me and what I want, and in the process, it helps the community because we can list this new home for 2-1-2-2. And for Mr. May to say this is not a chuck wagon the children are eating from is wrong.
Well, why? He said a van pulled up.
No, but the van has painted on the side chuck wagon, and it's painted like a chuck wagon. So when it pulls up, the children have the chuck wagon experience.
They're clearing your property. I don't know.
You're focusing too much on the fact that it's clearing my property. It gives them the Pioneer Experience.
You have children ages, what are the ages?
8 to 11 is our junior camp, and our teens are 12 to 17.
All right. What they're doing, sir, with all due respect, is they're clearing property for you. You call it the Pioneer Experience. Okay, but the chuck wagon is a van painted like a chuck wagon.
Well, we have the horn on the van even makes the sound of a horse whinnying. When you hear the horn, it goes as it pulls in. So it's a lot of fun for the kids. But the reason why we did this more than anything else, Phil, is that summer camp is a worthless experience for a lot of parents and kids. And for me to have to sit and listen to my son singing endless songs from camp until I almost killed him and I almost killed myself.
Do you think, sir, that the fact that your son was singing this camp song, "My mom gave me a penny, she said go get some candy," that maybe it's just an anxiety problem you have?
No, it is a problem. I every time I heard him sing, and another one, "Miss Susie was a steamboat, the steamboat had a bell, Miss Susie went to heaven, the steamboat went to hell," he never says hell, and that meaningless drivel, idiotic camp songs, the children sing these, and the next thing you know, you almost kill yourself and your son. What I wanted to do is start a camp that would help the kids, and yes, it helps me as well. And we also teach the children the old Negro spirituals, as you remember, Phil, from when they worked the soil. And
what do you mean Negro spirituals?
The songs that they sing.
You mean that the slaves sang?
No, the songs go, "Gonna lay my burden down," and all of that. Tell me, what do these songs possibly do to help these children get ready for life? Miss Susie had a steamboat, but "Lay My Burden Down" and "I'm Long Gone Like a Turkey Through the Corn," all of those are songs that have meaning to the children in terms of the history of this country.
All right, let me get to a phone call here. I don't know. Also, Mr. Montemay said you taught the kids Old Man River.
From a beautiful Old Man River from Showboat, yes.
Well, it's, you called it a camp, but the kids are working for you. 1-800-449-8686. Dana, go ahead.
Mr. Schwinn, are you out of your mind? That's called child labor. Kathy,
no, it is nothing. Is it child labor?
Your ever-loving mind.
Is it child labor when children cut wood? Is it child labor when children prepare their meals at camp? Is it child labor when they clean up their own huts? No,
it is not. Mr. Schwinn, child labor when you're getting a free house.
I'm not getting, the children are not building the house. They're clearing brush for me.
Excuse me, they're preparing the land for your house.
They are getting
an
entrepreneurial.
Do you not have to pay for that yourself? A chuck wagon, that's a van? This man needs to be committed, sir.
You know something, Dana? Obviously, you don't know much about children. Children enjoy...
I've only had four. You're right. I don't know much about them.
No, I don't think you do, because children learn. They learn practical skills. They learn that they've been had by an adult. They're had, again. Do they clean their huts out during camp? Do they have to clean up after themselves during camp?
Oh, Mr. Schwinn, you really need to get some help.
It's an honor.
Get some help,
it's
Mr. Schwinn. Get some help.
1-800-449-8686. We are talking with Roland Schwinn about a camp that they have for kids called Camp Apache, which on the surface looks like camp, but it turns out it's a place where kids go and help him clear the brush from his land. And he says it's better than regular camp because all the kids learn there are irritating songs. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Roland Schwinn here, talking with us about the camp he and his wife started, Camp Apache, where the kids come and you say learn pioneer skills. What they're doing is they're clearing brush from a lot that you and your wife own so you can build a house.
Well, I think it's unfair to keep focusing on that because we came on this program to tell you about teaching children entrepreneurial skills.
Well, what is the justification for getting children to clear a lot? Okay.
A lot of these children, Phil, come from lower income homes where they're going to wind up probably, and I don't mean absolutely, but a lot of them probably in the construction trade. What is wrong with teaching them the skill of a job they'll most likely be doing?
They're clearing brush.
I'm telling you, a lot of them are not going to do much more with their lives than clear brush or garden. Children have no idea what it's like to be in nature. They're glued to video games, to television. I give them a chance to find nature. And yes, in the process, help me save money on the building of a home. I don't know why that's wrong, and I don't know why people keep calling it child labor, when in point of fact, children, when they go to regular camp, have to clean up after themselves, have to do family work, have to clean out their cabins. That's not child labor. Now, one of the other things that we do allow the families to do after we get our home built and we passed out a brochure, we will allow the families to drive by the house and see the home that they helped in a small way to build. And if they do call us in advance, we'll come to the window and wave to them because we'll know that they're one of our camp kids. And
well, did they get to come into the house?
What we do is we let them park and they can look at the house from the car. But we don't, for security reasons, obviously want them to come in. But
so they get to have the camp experience, park across the street, stare at the house. They're clearing out brush and no repetitive songs.
Well, I think singing those songs are worthless, meaningless, repetitive dribble. Absolutely. I give the kids a feeling of accomplishment.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number of the Phil Hendry Show, as we talk here to Roland Schwinn and the Camp Apache that he and his wife have started. Jerry, go ahead.
Yeah, I find this guy incredible. You know, he talks about how you should really take care of what camp your child goes to and take a look at it. He's upset with this camp that his child went to. He crashes his car. He's so upset. He wants me to drive my kid with him?
Your understanding of me, I think, is a little bit wrong. The first point I'm trying to make is your child comes back from camp singing these idiotic songs. What else do they learn?
My child's just come back from your camp?
No.
Knowing that you think that his potential is clearing brush, and he's a construction worker all his life, and that's what you let him do, clear brush, so that you can build a home on your property? And then you can wave at him from the window, like wave and say thanks for clearing my land?
You're, in other words, incredulous, but you're not giving me reasons why.
Let me tell you, there's one thing I can learn from this radio segment, and that is that I got to double check whoever's taking my kid to camp, because I'm not going to let him go to a Camp Apache and be workforce labor for you, or maybe go to camp and learn songs. I'd rather have him go learn some songs than come back and be workforce labor.
And so he can sit there and listen. You have to listen to that ad nauseum. Miss Susie had a steamboat. The steamboat had a bell, and that goes on and on and on.
And I don't think that you're capable of managing several children if you can't even manage one child.
I can manage my child fine. I have.
Well, you didn't do very well in the car accident.
The man's been, I find incredible. The man has a
that
point.
You're on the air describing this and promoting your camp. I thought it was like a joke.
The man is making a good point here, Mr. Schwinn. You drove your car into a cement divider.
I have been to a doctor. I had an anxiety problem. I am taking Effexor, which is an anti-anxiety.
Oh, now the guy is on drugs.
No, sir, I'm not on drugs, sir. I'm on an anti-anxiety medication called Effexor.
That's not a drug?
No, it is not a drug that is depressing my mood. All it does is help me deal with life a little bit better. And I can tell you, as a result of that, I do much better. I don't want to do a lot of the bad things that I used to want to do. I admitted it right off the bat at the beginning of the interview with Mr. Hendry. I did a bad thing.
Your kid is singing a song, and you call it repetitive drivel, and it drives you so ape, you drive it into the center divider, the concrete divider of a freeway.
And I learned a great lesson then, yes.
That's wonderful. What a great lesson to learn. I tell you, I've learned that I should not send my child to any camp that you run, and any camp that's being run, I should double check and make sure there's a background check on who's operating it.
Kids are going to grow up having absolutely no respect for the great outdoors. Kids that come to Camp Apache learn to love animals, not to set fire to their tails, and not to put firecrackers in their you-know-whats. Well, you may think that that's fun. We don't.
No kid goes to camp and learns the
pulse. This guy's killing me. You know, he's spinning this around. I can't believe it. I think this guy's a comedian.
The camp experience, I can tell you, it wasn't funny when I almost drove my son through a cement wall. That wasn't funny. And it wasn't funny, the resulting injuries. But we grew closer together as a father and son. And I'll tell you that the camp experience as it exists today is going to drive me and every parent out there out of their minds.
I think you should look into what camp you send your kid to, because you obviously didn't pick a very good one. I'm certainly not sending my kid to Camp Apache Clearland.
All right, well,
hey, I'm going to sign off.
Thank you for the call, sir. 1-800-449-8686. The problem that these parents are having, clearing land for you.
All right, let's look at that. Your child comes, clears out brush. I'm going to build a beautiful home. In 1 year to a year and a half, when that child is old enough and the home is finished, they can get access to our street, drive down the street with their parents, and stare at the house and look at it.
Well, you don't even let them in the house. You don't even let them on the property.
I can't. For security reasons. I told you, most of these kids are not going to...
They're lower income kids, and so they're not going to amount much more than kids that are out there clearing brush and digging weeds. I get it.
Mr. Henry, you've mischaracterized it. They are children who are...
No, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Roland Schwinn with us, who started Camp Apache, where kids learn pioneer skills, including how to go out there and, you know, clear brush, set up a perimeter fence, and stub in electrical.
Mr. Henry, it is a pioneer experience.
Not when you got a van dropping off food, all right?
I dress up as an old-time plantation owner. The children can dress up in the ways that they want to as well.
As an old-time plantation owner and you're singing Negro spirituals, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. He doesn't call it child slavery, but he's dressed as a plantation owner and the kids are singing old spirituals. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Talking about wedding receptions and the best way to do a wedding reception, you have said that the garter toss is pornographic. You've also mentioned that the champagne fountain is low class.
Well, it is, Phil. I mean, the only stuff they got flowing through there is that that Freshenet garbage. And the other thing that are happening right now at wedding receptions that is really, really pulling things down is the mobile DJ. We don't have live bands anymore. Most of these people are renting mobile DJs. The other problem that I'm seeing, of course, women are returning to wearing white at the wedding, the bride.
And well, what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? Let me see. Where do I start? Do you know why they traditionally wore white at a wedding?
You mean, are you talking about the bride?
I'm talking about the bride. Okay, do you know why they traditionally wore white at weddings?
No, I don't.
Because they were signifying that they were virgins. Now, you know and I know that today, 2002, are you going to try to tell me these women walking up to the altar are virgins?
Well, some of them might be. I don't know. I mean, what's the point of what you're saying?
What I'm saying is this. If you walk up to the altar in white, knowing you're not a virgin, you're lying to yourself, you're lying to your husband, you're lying to God, and you might as well have nailed Jesus to the cross yourself. Now,
God Almighty, Belle, I mean, all the woman is doing is trying to have a nice white gown.
You don't wear a white gown if you're not a virgin, okay? And you know and I know that in today's society, among women, there's no such thing as a virgin. Now, the other thing that I wanted to mention is we see an awful lot of the larger... Plus, here's the other thing I wanted to mention.
There's no such thing as a virgin, huh?
Not today, no.
Well, I'm really glad that you're an expert on catering weddings as well as the sexual habits of women.
By the way, let me say something else to you, Phil, because this is really important. The bridesmaids that I see are dressed horribly, and the reason why they do that is the bride wants the bridesmaid to look like crap compared to her. So I want the bridesmaids out there to understand, no matter how much you think your dress looks good, no bride ever, ever dresses her bridesmaids to look good compared to her. Now, 50% of the guys at the wedding, and most of the grooms are going to have to face this, 50% of the guys at the wedding pork the bride anyway. Now, that's something else that you...
Oh, come on, dude!
Look at Phil, I am trying to give practical advice on wedding receptions.
50% of the guys at the wedding had the bride.
Right, and she's walking down in white? Come on! Now, the other thing that I wanted to mention, large women...
Let me give our number out, 1-800-449-8686.
You can go to another call that isn't there.
Just don't worry about it. 1-800-449-8686 with Ted Bell, Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'm making a list here, Ted. Don't use mobile DJs. Don't have champagne fountains. You bridesmaids out there should know that the bride always dresses you to look lousy compared to her. 50% of the guys at the wedding reception, in your crude words, pork the bride anyway. And
also at least three groomsmen had the bride the night before.
That's got to be crap. And you're talking about my wedding.
Phil, I don't mean every wedding, okay? In my case, it was true. In my case, it was true.
You went up to the altar and married your wife even though she'd slept with three of the groomsmen.
Yes, because I'm a realist. That's why the bride walks so slowly down the aisle, because she just...
Sweet God.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
So there you go.